Amen. Good to be here this morning, and it's certainly good to see each of you here this morning as we have gathered together at this place on this day for the purpose of worshiping God as He directs us in His Word. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to come through a week and to end a week successfully, and then on the first day of a new week, come together to worship God and to express our gratitude to Him and to lift our voices in praise to Him and to communicate with Him in prayer and have Him to communicate with us through His Word and to remember what Jesus, His beloved Son, did for us on the cross of Calvary when He died and shed His precious blood on our behalf, in our stead, in our interests, that we might have access to the tree of life. And if we will live for Him and do His commandments, we will have access to the tree of life and we'll be able to enter in through the gates into the city. Adam and Eve, as we were reminded in our lesson this morning, lost access to the tree of life and were expelled from the delightful Garden of Eden. But Jesus, by virtue of His death on the cross, has made it possible for us to eventually have access once more to the tree of life, and we'll be able to enjoy the bliss that will be ours in glory by and by. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. From the daytime soap operas, we learn a number of valuable lessons. We want to focus on one particular soap opera. We're not speaking of the young and the restless. We're not speaking of As the World Turns, although we can learn valuable lessons from either of those. But we want to think in terms of the days of our lives. After the theme music has played for a moment, an announcer says, like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives. Now, I'm not sure of all the philosophical aspects of that statement, like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives. But I recognize that there are several profound truths that are implied by this statement. One, life is short. Two, life is serious. Three, life is filled with many changes. When we think about the shortness of life, we think about what James affirms in James 4 and verse number 14. And we see it demonstrated every day. What is your life? It is even as a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Job in Job 14 and verse 1 affirms, man that is born of a woman is of how many days? He is of few days. And he also affirms, not only is his life short, but he also says, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of what? Full of trouble. And all of us are going to have sufficient trouble in our lives. Life is very eventful. Some of the happenings of life are good, and others are not so good. Also, what happens to me might not happen to you. But it is safe to say that there are some things that will happen to each and every person in the world. In this passage from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Solomon mentions three events or three kinds of things that will take place in the life of every person in this audience. Since life is so short, and since this is material we all need to hear, I want to point out three common kinds of happenings in which all of us share as we live life in this world and on this terrestrial ball that we call Earth. I want to talk to you this morning using as the specific title of our lesson simply the days of our lives. I want to point out first of all that there will be choosing days. Life is full of choices. Many choices make no real difference at all. Other choices, however, can have an enormous impact on our lives. When we look at Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 and 19, I want you to consider how serious Moses regarded some vital choices as being. In verse 15, he says, see, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. That was true of the children of Israel then, and that is true of each of you and each of us now. He has set before us life and good. He has set before us death and evil. And it is left up to us as individuals to make our choice. It is left up to us to choose what path we are going to pursue. In verse 19, he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed shall live. And I admonish all of us, young and old alike, to choose life rather than death, to choose good rather than evil. When we look at Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9, and if you have your Bibles, turn with me. You see, we have to keep in mind that choices have consequences. Some choices have good consequences, life. Some choices have bad or negative consequences, evil or death. Sometimes individuals want to sow their wild oats and then pray for a crop failure. But Paul affirms in Galatians 6, verses 7 through 9, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life. Now remember, Moses said, I'm setting before you life and death. I'm setting good and evil. Choose life that you may live. He says, and this is something that we need to be aware of. If we choose to live for God, if we choose to do what is right, if we choose to do our best, if we choose to be obedient to our parents and obedient to our God, eventually you're going to be rewarded. Eventually things are going to work out well for you. If you choose to do your best in school, if you choose to be the best you can be, if you choose to apply yourself, good things are going to happen to you. And if you choose to refrain from engaging in self-destructive behavioral patterns of life, good things are going to happen to you. If you choose to carefully navigate your way through the wilderness of life, you can be assured that there's going to be a positive reward at the end of the road. And the wise man Paul here emphasizes verse number 9. He said, let us not be weary in well doing. Don't get discouraged. Don't become faint-hearted. Don't get down in the dumps. Just keep on doing well. Don't be weary in well doing. How come? Why should I not be weary in well doing? Why should I not become faint-hearted? Why should I not become despondent and despairing if I am doing well? The reason is, for in due season we shall reap. If we faint not. I know sometimes you become faint I know sometimes you want to give up, sometimes you want to throw in the towel, but just keep in mind that this is a promise of God. Whatsoever you sow, that's what you're going to also reap. When we look in our main passage, Ecclesiastes 12, and we look at Ecclesiastes 11 and verse number 9, and I want especially our youth to be consciously cognizant of the significance of the message that is contained in Ecclesiastes 11, 9. Notice what he says here, "Rejoice, O young man." And this is generically, not just young man, but young women also. "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. For every choice that you make, for every habit that you establish, you're going to have to deal with the consequences of it. You're going to have to give account of it. Brother Daniel made a profound affirmation in our class this morning. He said, no alcoholic ever started out as an alcoholic. He started out as just a casual social drinker. No drug addict started out wanting to be a drug addict, but he started out experimenting with drugs. He might have started out with marijuana, what some call the gateway drug. But whatever happens, it doesn't happen all at once. You are going to reap what you sow. I believe it was Tyrone Davis. Anybody in the house remember the song, "If I Could Turn Back the Hands of Time"? Any of you folks remember that? "If I could turn back the hands of time, leaving you, baby, would be the last thing on my mind. If I could turn back the hands of time." Now, he's saying, if I could turn back the hands of time, I would make some different choices. I would choose differently if I had the prerogative to turn back the hands of time. But unfortunately, James Waller, we don't have that freedom. We don't have that as a prerogative to turn back the hands of time. Because once you have made the choice, once you have pursued a particular pathway in life, you can't say, well, I don't like this road. I'd like to turn back the hands of time. I'd like to go back. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. So we have to make sure that we make good choices. We need to make good choices when it comes to our friends. We need to make good choices when it comes to selecting a mate. We need to be concerned about the kind of person that we decide to marry. And we need to make that determination preeminently on the basis of the inner person, not on the basis of external qualities. It shouldn't really enter into the equation whether a person is good looking or not, or whether a person has good hair or not, or whether a person has a good personality or not. Now, I know everybody wants to hook up with somebody who's beautiful. I know everybody wants to hook up with somebody who has a very charming and colorful personality. But the most important thing is, What kind of character does this person have? What does he bring to the table insofar as skills are concerned that will enable him to provide for a family and will enable him to live for a family? When it comes to the young lady, what does she bring to the table? Does she have the qualities that are necessary to be a good wife and a good mother? Has she learned some vital four-letter words like cook, like wash, like iron? Those are valuable four-letter words. But marry somebody that can provide for you and can provide for any children you might have. And when you look for a male as a husband, look for one who can lead you spiritually. It's so important who we choose to spend the rest of our lives with. It is also important what kind of recreation we choose, what kind of career we choose, what kind of diet we choose. But most important of all, it is vitally significant that we choose to obey our God and to remember our Creator and to submit ourselves in humble obedience to Him. Youth is the greatest time for choices. And the greatest choice any young person can make is to give their heart to the Lord. It will save them many unnecessary burdens. Now I want to share something with you insofar as living for God and obeying the gospel of God. I'm told that 88% of all conversions occur before age 19. 68% between ages 9 and 14. 80% of high school students who graduate without obeying the gospel will never obey the gospel. Children ages 5 through 13 have a 32% probability of obeying the gospel and being saved. Children ages 14 through 18 have a 4% probability. Children 18 and over have a 6% probability. What is being said by these statistics is the longer you go without Jesus, the less your chances become of being obedient to Him. Choose to serve God while you still have plenty of time and energy. Don't burn your candle for the devil and blow the smoke of a wasted life in the face of God. Make your choice for Jesus while there is time. There may be some here today who have never been saved, who have never obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If so, then you need to know that this is a choosing day, and you can make the most important choice of your entire life today. Do not fail in the most important choice of all. When we think of the days of our lives, let's take advantage of choosing days. But not only must we be aware of and take advantage of choosing days, but we must also recognize that in this life, there will be changing days. Sadly, youth does not last forever. Life marches on with its demands of work, family, and various responsibilities. And when youth begins to be replaced by age, it is a sure sign that the body is wearing out. In Ecclesiastes 12, 1 through 8, the image is that of a house falling down, and the wise preacher utilizes metaphorical, figurative language in describing the gradual deterioration of life as we advance from youth to old age. The body is compared to a house. Solomon, in these verses, paints a vivid picture of growing old. I know we have a lot of young folks in the audience, and some of us who are old remember when we were young. Clifford remembers when he was young and had plenty of energy and vim and vigor and vitality. Arthur Davis remembers when he had plenty of pep in his step, much glide in his stride, when he had a lot of dip left in his hips. But things have changed. Now, he's still in pretty good shape, but he's not the Arthur Davis he used to be. His physical body, with its various systems, is beginning to gradually deteriorate and disintegrate. His outward man is perishing, but I'm thankful to God that his inner man can be renewed day by day. When we look at Ecclesiastes 12, the wise man comparing our bodies, our lives, to a house that is gradually disintegrating and deteriorating. He says, "The keepers of the house shall tremble." That's the arms and the hands, the strong men, the legs, the knees, and shoulders weakens, and the body bends. The grinders, that is the teeth, fall out. The windows gives reference to the eyes, and vision turns bad. The doors closed off, shut in, nothing in common with others. A kind of isolation takes place. The grinding, we can't chew our food because of the quality of teeth. Even when you have a whole mouthful of brand new teeth, they only achieve about 25% of the efficiency of the God-given teeth. He speaks of rising up, that is, awaking early because you can't sleep. He speaks of the music being low, that's hard of hearing. He speaks of folks being afraid. They are terrified of falling, and with good reasons, because when you're old and feeble and fragile, when you fall, you are more likely to end up breaking a hip or breaking some other bone. And a lot of times, once an old person falls and breaks a bone, especially a major bone like the hip, they don't endure long, and they are unable to recover. He speaks of the almond tree, the hair turning white like an almond blossom. Sometimes, rather than turning white, however, it just turns a loose instead. He speaks of the grasshopper who drags himself at the end of the summer. He speaks of desire being gone, the loss of appetite for all things, even life itself. And then he speaks of the long home. That is death, the eternal home. All of these things are signs that the end is near. A wise man sees trouble coming and prepares for it. Young people, by the choices that you make early on in life, you are preparing for the end to come, and you are preparing to deal with the various changes that are going to take place in life. And just keep living. Those changes are coming. You know, for a long time, I didn't know what a headache was. For a long time, I'd never experienced a backache or a knee ache or various other joint aches. But now I understand. Now I understand what it is for your shoulders to hurt, for your ankles to hurt, for your knees to hurt, for your head to hurt, for your back to hurt. You know, I used to be able to see very clearly. I used to tell folks like Uncle Jed on the Beverly Hillbillies, used to tell him that he could spot a gnat on a plate of grits at 100 yards. But in order for me to clearly see a street sign while driving along in my car, I have to reach up and take out my glasses and put them on. And then I have to kind of strain to see. I can already verify the gradual deterioration of my vision. And by and large, you're going to experience the same thing. Those changes are coming. And so we may as well get prepared. We may as well be ready for them. The ant is contrasted with the grasshopper in Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 11. The ant prepares himself. The grasshopper refuses to prepare for the future. My question is, are you an ant or are you a grasshopper? Are you preparing for a better life, even in adulthood, before you approach old age? While you are young, do the very best that you possibly can do. Prepare yourself to the very best of your ability. If you can't be a pine on top of the hill, be a shrub by the side of the rill. If you can't be a highway, just be a trail. If you can't be the sun, be a star. It isn't by size that you win or fail. Be the best of whatever you are. And young people, when it comes to education, as soon as your parents tell you that you need to do your best in school, you need to study, you need to get good grades, you need to focus on the main thing, and you need to always keep the main thing the main thing, and you need to prepare for the future, recognize that the more you learn, the more you earn, and the better care you're going to be able to provide for yourself, and the better care you're going to be able to provide for your family, and the greater contributions you will be enabled to make to the work of the Lord and contribute to the church of Jesus Christ, our Lord. The changing days are coming. But finally, there will be concluding days. None of us lives on this earth forever. But I'm young. I know you're young. But you're not going to always be young. All of the old folks, me included, started out, and you didn't start out old. You started out young. But eventually you're going to succumb. You're going to have to experience those concluding days because death is inevitable. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth as a flower when it's cut off. He cometh also as a shadow, but he doesn't last very long. Knowing that the changing days are coming, knowing that the concluding days are coming, we need to prepare ourselves during the choosing days. We want to choose life, not death. We want to choose good, not evil. Mark Twain is reputed to have said, we need to learn from the mistakes of others because we won't live long enough to make them all ourselves. As we look at the lives of others and see mistakes they have made and see bad choices they have made, let that encourage us, let that spur us on to make good choices. You have an opportunity today to make a good choice for Jesus. If you are not yet a Christian, become one today. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Do we have any young people in the house who have not yet become Christians, who have not yet obeyed the gospel of Christ? Make this a positive choosing day. Choose life by obeying Christ. Maybe you're here and you're already a Christian, but you've not been faithful. You've not lived as a Christian. You've not given the Lord the kind of priority and preeminence that he deserves and that he requires. Why not make the choice today to recommit your life to him through repentance, confession, and prayer? If you're here and you're not a Christian, if you've not obeyed the gospel, what are you waiting for? Why are you putting it off? You understand what you need to do. You understand how important it is to obey the Lord. And sometimes people feel, well, I know I'm young, but I got plenty of time. You don't know that. And we've seen example after example of individuals who were very young, even in their teenage years, but who died anyway. There was a young fellow up at West Elementary, I believe, in Mount Juliet just this past week. Got real sick, like on Wednesday or Thursday. And they had to take him to Vanderbilt Critical Care. And this was like a fifth or sixth grader. Had a special strain of meningitis. But he died within 2 days And we've heard about the MTSU student who contracted another kind of meningitis, which was contagious, and he died in just a few days. Young man, 19. Why are you referencing these examples? I'm calling your attention to these examples because they illustrate very vividly and very soberingly that life is uncertain and that young folks have no monopoly on it, that it is possible for a young person to die at a young age. You don't know how long you're going to be around. You don't know whether you're going to live to be 20, whether you're going to live to be 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50. You don't know. Why take an unnecessary chance when you can choose life today by obeying Christ today? He loved you enough that he died on the cross of Calvary for your sins and mine. He was buried and he arose triumphantly from the grave on the third day. That's good news. Make today a choosing day by choosing to believe the gospel, obey the gospel, and reap the bountiful benefits therefrom. Sister Kuhl always has some very good material, good challenging, thought-provoking articles in the bulletin. She has some things you need to consider when you are making a decision. So I encourage you to go and review those things. Review them. They will serve to remind you of how important it is to make the right choices and the right decisions in life. If you are here and you need to obey the Lord today, why not make today a choosing day? Why not choose Christ today as we together stand and as we sing?
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to the brink. 'Tis a fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come
today
to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Let us haste.